Well, happy Mother's Day and welcome to all you moms, you grandmas, great grandmas in the house today. We want to say that we are grateful for you and we are glad that you could come here today. We love Mother's Day. It's such a great day to celebrate the blessing that moms are. But I also want to say this morning that I can understand that sometimes Mother's Day is a hard day for a lot of different people, for a lot of different reasons. And I get that. Maybe some of you are here today and you've recently lost your mom. You're missing your mom today. Maybe there's some of you here today who would like to be moms and God has not let that happen for you yet. Maybe there's some of you who have lost a child and you're mourning the loss of a child as a mom. And I want to say this morning that we understand that. And I want to say also that I'm really excited about today's message because I think that God's word speaks to those situations. I think that God sees you right where you're at today. And I think that the message today is not just applicable for moms, but it's applicable for all of us here today. I know certainly as I've studied it this week, it's been very impactful for me. And so I'd encourage you, hey, if you're not a mom today, it's okay. You can still pay attention. There's a lot for us to learn. So let's go ahead and jump in today. And I want to start off by asking you guys a question. It's in your bulletin. I'm going to put it on the screen. And this is the question. Can you put it up on the screen so I remember what it is? I don't have enough blank. How would you fill this in? I don't have enough whatever. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough sleep. I don't have enough money in the bank account. I don't have enough friends. Don't have enough relationships. I don't have enough fill in the blank. There's an author, her name was Lynn Twist, and she said this, for many of us, our first thoughts when we first wake up in the morning are, I didn't get enough sleep. Anybody wake up this morning feeling that way? Like first thought of the day, like, dang it, not enough sleep. And then our second thought is typically, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to get done what needs to get done in this day. And then throughout the rest of our day, we basically start from this deficit. We start from this deficit that we're behind. And so we start out and we end our day feeling like we never got enough done. We never had enough. We weren't enough for the day. Author Brené Brown calls this the culture of scarcity. This idea that we go throughout our lives and we're just constantly in our heads and in our hearts, we're feeling like scarce. We don't have enough. We don't have enough to meet the demands of the day. We don't have enough to meet the demands of our finances or whatever. The culture of scarcity. Moms, can you relate to this? There's a lot of pressure on you, right? There's a lot of pressure from all these different directions, and you can feel like you're never enough. Today, I want to turn that question of, you know, I don't have enough whatever. I want to turn that on its head, and I want us to be able to say, as a result of this message, no, I do have enough. I have enough. That's what I want you to be able to say coming out of today's sermon. Coming out of the service, I want all of us to be able to say to ourselves, no, I have enough. And the reason we have enough is found in God's words. We're going to open up today to a very familiar passage. It's in Psalm 23. If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to read this together. We're going to put on the screen as well, or you could grab a Bible from the pew in front of you. God's word says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm is a very familiar psalm to most of us. Many of us have it memorized. We've learned it as kids. We hear it a lot of times at funerals. It's often read at funerals or at a deathbed. And the reason it is because it's such a psalm of comfort. I love the words of this psalm. But today I want you to understand that this psalm is not written just for those who have already died or are on their deathbeds. This is a psalm written for you. It's a psalm written for me right in the midst of our crazy, busy lives. And through this psalm, we find out that it's possible for us to really have a life without want. A life where we truly say, I have enough. It's possible for us to wake up in the morning and the first thing we think in our head is, I have enough. And it's possible for us to go to sleep at the end of the day and think to ourselves, I have enough. And the answer to why we can say that is found right here in the psalm. Now, if we want to determine whether or not we have enough in our lives, there's two questions that we need to ask ourselves. If you want to know, do I have enough? There's two questions you need to ask yourself. The first question is this: what do I actually need? What do I actually need? You know, most of us feel this sense of scarcity. We go throughout life feeling this sense of lack, like we don't have enough of whatever. And there's many reasons for that, but part of the reason for that is because we live in a society that's constantly showing us all the stuff we don't have. Right? I mean, you turn on the TV, you read a magazine, you look across the street, you drive down the road, and you see, oh my goodness, there's so many things I don't have. And all these other people seem to have all these things that I want to have. And I'm not just talking material things. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about good looks. I'm talking about having that money in your bank account. I'm talking about having this sense of satisfaction in life. And if you look at Facebook and Instagram and magazines and whatever, you see people's lives and you recognize these people seem to have it all together. And so we can look at that and think to ourselves, I don't have that. And therefore, we constantly live in this cycle of wanting more and not feeling like we are enough or that we have enough. The problem is with thinking that we need all these other things. But when it comes down to it, ask yourself, what is it that you actually need? And as human beings, God has created us in such a way that we don't actually need all that much. We need things like food, water, shelter, a sense of safety, relational belonging, a sense of purpose in life. Pretty basic stuff. And listen to this. Everything else is just icing on the cake. If you've got those basic things, everything else is icing on the cake. And so if you want to determine whether you have enough, you need to start by asking yourself, and I need to start by asking myself, what do I actually need? What do I actually need? That's the first question. The second question is even more important, and this comes out of verse 1 of the psalm. Who is my shepherd? Who is my shepherd? Because even more important than what you actually need is who is going to provide for your needs. Who's going to provide for you? Who's going to lead you? Who's going to guide you? Who's going to protect you? And there are so many different shepherds that you can choose from in your life. You can choose to follow after your career. You can choose to be shepherded by your spouse or by your kids. You can let them drive you. You can be shepherded by your bank account. You can be shepherded by the amount of things you own. You can look to these things. You can look to your physical health. You can look to these things and say, these are the things that are going to take care of me. But the Bible makes it very clear. There is only one who will take care of you in such a way that you can say to yourself, no, I've got enough. There's only one shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. There's only one who can provide for that. Why is that? Well, who is God? God is the all-sufficient one. God is the one who has always existed. He has always had everything he has ever needed. God has never had a point in his existence where he said, wow, I'm really missing something here. No, God has always had everything he wanted. He's always had all power. He's always had all ability. He's always had all control. He's always known everything. And so God has never lacked once. And if we say to ourselves, this God is the one who has said that he's going to shepherd me, he has promised to watch after me. He has promised to be at my side. If this all-sufficient one is your shepherd, then how can you say, I want anything? Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Recently, one of my favorite authors, his name is Dallas Willard, and he recently passed away, but a book just came out based on his teachings, and it's called Life Without Lack. And this whole book is about Psalm 23 and about this idea of we can go throughout life not wanting anything because of our shepherd. And listen to what he says in the book. He says this: freedom from the frantic desire to have is grounded in God's promise to never leave us. Let me say that again. Freedom from the frantic desire to have more, to have these other things, freedom from that is grounded in God's promise to never leave us. To never leave us. And the rest of Psalm 23 basically spells out how it is that this good shepherd who is right at your side gives you the freedom from want, how he's enough. So the first thing we learn about the good shepherd is that with God as our shepherd, I have enough in my physical needs. I have enough in my physical needs. Let's read, go back to verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. What's the psalmist talking about here? He's talking about three things. God gives you basic needs. He gives you your food. He gives you your water. He gives you rest. If you have today, if you are here today and you have food and you have water and you have rest, guess who those came from? They came from the shepherd. He's the one taking care of you. And the imagery that's used here is not just like, you know, measly little meals or something. This is talking about a sheep who's lying down in the midst of a green pasture. Why? Because he already ate so much food, he can't stay awake anymore. You guys ever eaten a lot of food? This last week, we went out to lunch as a staff. We went out to Boise Fry Company to say goodbye to James. And I ate this huge burger and all these fries. And I came back and I tried to write this sermon in my office. So if this sermon doesn't make any sense, it's because I was like nodding off and like having to hit myself to stay awake. That's what God does for us. He provides everything we need. He provides for the food that we eat so that we can actually lay down and rest. He gives you the basic needs. 1 Timothy 6:5, Paul says, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Paul says, if we have food and we have covering, with these we shall be content. And why can he say that? Because if your basic needs are met and God is your shepherd, therefore you shall not be in want. The key is that the presence of the shepherd is even more important than your physical needs being met. This is very important to understand. The presence of the shepherd in your life is even more important than your physical needs being met. Moms, I know that you are very busy. How many moms out there have like gone through the day and you forgot to eat because you were super busy? My mom does that sometimes. I don't understand that. I've never forgotten to eat in my whole life. But moms do this because they get so busy, there's so much on their minds, and they forget to eat even. They forget to drink enough water. They forget to get enough rest. In your life, there will be seasons where you probably won't have all your physical needs even being met. You may not have enough food. Your body might be failing you. You might not have enough rest. In those seasons, when your physical needs might even be struggling, you have everything you need because the shepherd is at your side. God, the shepherd, does not leave you, even in the midst of physical needs. Even if nothing else in your life changes, even if your life is crazy busy, even if you're super stressed out, even if there's so many things that you wish were different, you have enough. Because the good shepherd is at your side. If you're at the end of your rope, you have enough. Because the shepherd is at your side. If you feel like you don't have anything left in the tank, you have enough. Because the shepherd is at your side. Now, the question for us as busy moms and as people in general is, how do I live in such a way that I recognize I have enough in the midst of the busyness and of the things that I think that I want? How do you live like that? And the solution as a mom is you can't go off and just be a nun somewhere, right? You can't just leave your responsibilities and I'm going to go, my relationship with God is so important, I'm just going to go and leave everything behind and I'm going to go be in a monastery somewhere or nunnery. You can't do that, right? You've got responsibilities. So the question is, how do you have this relationship with God where you recognize he is with you even in the midst of all of the busyness of life? And there's a book that Molly gave me. It's called Long Days of Small Things. It's by Catherine McNeil. I think some of you have read it. In that book, she talks about how motherhood spirituality is not God's plan B. Motherhood spirituality is not God's plan B. And what she means is, if God has made you a mom, he does not want you to have a relationship with him that looks like someone else's relationship with him. He wants you to have a relationship with him right in the midst of being a mom. And he understands where you are placed. And he is not asking you to go be a nun somewhere. He's asking you to be you in the midst of your circumstances and be in a relationship with him right in the midst of that. Right in the midst of that. So the question is, how do we do that? And in the book, she talks about this. She says we can use basic activities to remind you of God's presence. This is the first action. Use basic activities to remind you of God's presence. And what she means by that is very simple. Everybody has to breathe. So as you are breathing throughout the day, take some of those breaths and say, Lord, you're with me. God, your Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Father, I recognize that you are here with me. Breathing. Everybody does things like use water. You use water to brush your teeth and wash your hands and take a shower, do dishes, do laundry. When you're using water throughout your days, remind yourself, oh God, you are the living water. You refresh my soul. You're here right with me as I'm doing this laundry, doing these dishes. You are here with me. Moms do a lot of walking. As you're walking throughout the house, throughout the neighborhoods, throughout the stores, remember that the firm ground beneath your feet is like the firm ground of Christ. That you have a foundation upon which to build your life, and he's here with you right now. The point is, and she gives a lot more examples, all the everyday things that you're doing anyways are an opportunity to turn that into a recognition that God is with you. Practicing this idea that God is with me, practicing, remembering, reminding ourselves. Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you want a relationship with God as a busy mom, it's not going to happen by just having these super awesome long quiet times all the time. It's going to happen as you're walking with God throughout the days. It's going to happen as day by day, moment by moment, you are remembering my shepherd is with me in the small things. All right, so we have enough in our physical needs. We have enough because God is with us. But God is so amazing, and he doesn't stop there, because with him, we also have enough in our emotional needs. I have enough in my emotional needs. If you would turn with me back to the Psalm 23, end of verse 3 says this. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here we see two emotional needs being met by God. The first one is the need for purpose, and the second one is the need for safety, or the need to be free from fear. God provides for our direction in life, and he provides for us in our fears. He provides for our emotional needs. We're going to start with fear first. We're going to start with safety first, because you need to always start with safety first, right? So start with safety here. Why can we not be afraid? You know, as moms, I've known enough moms in my life to know that moms tend to have a lot of fears. And this is a broad statement, but there's a lot of things to be afraid of, right? Because your kids do dumb things all the time, and so you're always afraid they're going to hurt themselves. But there's so many things to be afraid of, whether it's that next trip to the doctor, or how much money you have in the bank, or what's going on with your husband, or what's going on with your grown kids, or what's going on in the world in general. And as you grow older, there seems to be more to be afraid of. Things just seem to get worse. The decisions your kids make actually have worse consequences as they get older. The world seems to be getting worse as we get older. And so that fear level can just rise and rise and rise. And we all know people who have been dominated by fear. But the Bible tells us that we need not be afraid. Right here it says, even in the valley, the shadow of death, if death itself is pursuing you, you don't have to be afraid. Why? He's with you. God is with you right in the midst of evil. Now, we don't say that we're not afraid just because we know everything's going to turn out okay. The fact is, your fears might come true. Those worst things possible, those things that you dread, that you lay awake at night just dreading, they may actually happen. Our reason for not being afraid is not because everything's going to turn out okay, that everything's going to be peachy keen all the time. No, our reason for not being afraid is simply this. The shepherd is at your side. The shepherd is at your side. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the Bible repeats that again and again. If God is for us, who can be against us? So moms, you don't have to be afraid. God is with you. God is with your children. God is with your circumstances. And God will never be surprised. He's never going to be surprised. And so therefore, we shall not fear. So how do you live a life without fear? Well, the action item here is this. Stay near to lose fear. Stay near to lose fear. This is like the most trite statement I've ever heard, but it rhymes, so I'm keeping it. Stay near to lose fear. What I mean by that is this. In the previous verse, in verse 3, it says that God is the one who's going to lead you in paths of righteousness. And what that means is, the paths of righteousness can kind of be an abstract concept. What that means is God's going to lead you into places that are good for you and good for his glory. If you are following after God, he's going to lead you in the right way. He's not going to lead his sheep off a cliff. He's not going to leave you and then abandon you somewhere. No, if you are staying next to God, he's going to lead you into the place where he wants you to go. He's going to lead you into the right places. And it's because we are following the shepherd that we can say, I'm not afraid. Even if God leads me into this deep, dark valley where it seems like death is on every side, I need not be afraid. And so what I mean by this is if you walk closely with God, that is the first step toward getting rid of fear. Now, I recognize that many of you struggle with clinical depression or anxiety disorders or really major problems and issues that you've dealt with in your life related to fear. And I don't want to make light of this. But as you work towards overcoming fear, the foundation for overcoming fear is knowing that the shepherd is at your side. The shepherd is at your side. If we want to lose that fear, if we want to be able to cast that fear aside, it begins by staying close to the shepherd. So we see that God meets us in the midst of physical needs, in the midst of emotional needs. But what about our relational needs? Does God meet us there? Yes, he does. With God as my shepherd, I have enough in my relational needs. Now, turn with me to verses 5 and 6, and let's read this together. This talks about God's relationship with us. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, what awesome imagery. God here is turning from being a shepherd to being a host. So he's turning, the imagery here is turning from a shepherd leading sheep in the wilderness to now you're invited into a home. You're invited into a home. And what does God do as he invites you into his home? First of all, he lays out this massive table full of food. I picture like Chuck-a-Rama or like a Vegas buffet or like on a cruise or something, like lots of food, but even better than that. Really amazing food. And what's amazing about this table is that you're eating this and as you're eating in God's home, your enemies are showing up. And that's fine, because you're so secure, you're so safe in God's home that you're not even afraid. God can invite your enemies along and it's like no big deal, because you're so safe in his dwelling place. And he doesn't stop there. He anoints your head with oil. You know, in a really dry and dusty culture, in a smelly culture, being anointed with oil is a sign of honor and respect. It's like a moisturizer, and it smells really good. And God says, look, I'm welcoming you here. I want you to be at home. I want you to know that you are an honored guest. And he gives you this cup that's overflowing, a cup of wine or a cup of water, and it's refreshing, and you know that you're going to be there for a long time, and you are welcome at his home. But it doesn't stop there. It says that surely goodness, loving kindness is going to follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness, God's covenant love for you, it's going to follow you all the days of your life. It's not just a one-time invite into his home. No, this is a constant dwelling with the King. Here we see God's infinite and amazing and everlasting forever love for you as his son and as his daughter. This is a permanent kind of love. This is a permanent kind of welcome into his home. Friends, we need to understand that the ultimate comfort for us as human beings, the ultimate comfort is not found in food and shelter, but in the presence of God forever. The kind of relationship that God initiates with us is better than any love you could ever experience with another human being. I know that's hard for us to believe because we're so used to human love, but God's love far exceeds that. As high as he is above us, that's how high his love is above our love for one another. God's love is infinite. He knows every single thing about you. There's nothing that you can ever do that can take away his love for you. God's love is going to last forever. And that's why even in the face of death, you can say to yourself, I don't have to be afraid. I need nothing because God's love is with me. And it's not going to be stopped by something as small as even death. This love that God has for us is guaranteed to us. And we know that it's guaranteed to us because 2,000 years ago, God came to earth and Jesus told us as a human being, I am the good shepherd. God does not shepherd us from afar. He came near to us to shepherd our hearts and to bring us into his home. And it happens through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. God is with us. God is with you. And he guarantees that he's with you because Jesus came to save you. Friends, this is the reality that you get to live right now. This is the reality that we are living right now. We are in the home of the King. We are eating at his table. We have our heads anointed with oil. We are drinking from the cup that is overflowing. This is your reality. And that reality is more foundational to your life than the fact that you're feeling kind of tired today. That reality is more foundational than the fact that your kids are kind of acting up lately. That reality is more foundational than how much money you have in your bank account or how much things that you want that you are lacking, the dissatisfaction that you might have in your job or even in your marriage. This foundation is even more important than anything else that we can be dealing with in life. The fact that we are at home with the King. We are welcomed at his table. That is our reality. The King is with us and therefore we have no needs. We shall not want. So how do you live like that's true? How do you live as if this reality is actually true? It starts very, very basically. You need to invite God in. Invite God in. Foundationally, Jesus says that he's standing at your door. He's knocking on your heart. He says he wants to come in. He wants to eat with you. He wants you to eat with him. Jesus Christ offers this kind of life. He offers you the life that you have always wanted, a life where you can say, I truly have enough, no matter what I'm lacking. I have enough. That life is found only in Christ. If you're here today and you have not yet accepted this gift that Jesus brings to you, if you have not accepted him as your Savior, you can do that right now. If you are longing for that kind of life, if you're walking around life feeling like you're empty and you're lacking, I want you to know that you can invite Christ in right now, right where you sit. And you will never be in want. But beyond that, if you've already invited Christ in, there's kind of a secondary step, and that is to continue to invite God into your life. And what I mean by that is, as you're going throughout life, simply invite God along. Now, obviously God is everywhere, and so, you know, this is kind of metaphorical, but what I mean by this is, as you're walking about your day, as you're mopping the floor, as you're driving your car, as you're changing diapers, just say, hey, God, I want you to be with me in this moment. I'm doing this with you. I'm doing life with you. I want to recognize that you are right here at my side. You are with me. You are with me no matter what I'm doing. Invite God in to whatever you're doing day by day. You can do this as a busy mom, as a busy dad, as a busy child. Invite God along with you. So today on this Mother's Day, moms, I recognize there's a lot. There's a lot that you have to do. There's a lot on your plates. There's a lot of pressure from your kids, from your job, from schooling, from the church, from your spouse, from all sorts of different places. And so today I don't want to be bringing a message that makes you feel like you've got to do one more thing. No, the message today is very simple. Remember what you have. Remember what you have. And for all of us, we can turn that question or that desire, I don't have enough of blank, we can turn it into, no, I have enough in Christ. I have enough in Christ. Ask yourself, what is it that I actually need? Ask yourself, who is it that I'm looking to be the shepherd, to provide for my needs? Use the basic activities of life, the walking, the eating, the drinking water, to remind you that God is with you. Stay near to God and cast your fears on him as you walk closely with him and invite God along. Invite God in. My prayer for myself and for us as a church is that we as God's people would be able to say with full confidence, the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not be in want. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you have given us mothers and that we can be mothers, and we thank you so much for the gift of that. But more than that, more than anything, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you never leave us. We thank you that no matter what we feel like we're lacking, we have enough because the shepherd is at our side. I pray that you would help us to live that this week, to be reminded of your presence with us. May we be filled up with your joy, your peace, your contentment as we go about with our shepherd this week. In Jesus' name, amen.